just think you're going to go through the motions against, even though you may be good enough to.
Right.
But you better not treat it that way. A turnover here or there. We haven't had that game where we had like three or four turnovers. You know, we haven't, that hadn't happened this year. And, you know, with most teams, it happens eventually, but I think we'll be fine.
Dabo, it never ceases to amaze me how he contrives this, like, chip on the shoulder with, I mean, I swear at some point 10 years from now, if Syracuse never scores a point, he's still going to go back to the way they embarrassed Clemson offensively, his words, with the way they ran the ball down Clemson's throat 2 years ago with a different coaching staff in a desperate situation that they couldn't possibly prepare for on film. He's actually using that to motivate. Hey, did you see that as like a motivating factor, a legitimate motivating factor for Clemson in this game? What happened 2 years ago?
I mean, if I was a head coach, yeah, I would use it for sure. But I think when you're the number two team in the country and you're gunning for another national title, you know, there are teams out there like, look at Tennessee. I mean, what's their motivation right now? What's their hope? You know what I mean? You've got to manufacture some excitement in that locker room right now. When you're Clemson, you do not need to manufacture excitement. You need to manufacture focus. I mean, the motivation's there. They just need to be focused week in and week out and play at a high level. And that's what Dabo's been the master of. So, you know, if he uses something 2 years ago and it works, he's doing something that works.
Yeah, no kidding.
I had a guy that sat in front of me for several years, my season tickets, and I think it was 2010. He threw up his hands after the last game of the regular season and said, "I'm done. This isn't worth the money anymore." And I'm pretty sure we've lost like three home games or like six home games in the last 7 years since he since he threw his hands up. The winning percentage is like the highest on record. So Clemson fans are getting their money's worth, and Dabo's doing something right. Let me ask you this, Quark.
All right.
If you take Kelly Bryant out of this offense, if he's not a running threat, I don't know that we're more than 150, 170 yards rushing a game. I don't think we're an elite rushing team. I think it all hinges around him. Because not only, you know, in this kind of offense, you know, a play fake from the quarterback that most teams don't really respect is very different from a quarterback that not only will take the ball, but is like a home run threat. And so the defense, their eyes, not only do they have to respect it, but it's like on high alert. You know, watch out for the QB if he tucks it, because not only can he pick up 5 or 6 yards, he can make you look silly and outrun you to the end zone. So I think Kelly Bryant greases the skids for everything about the Clemson run game. And if he's not in there or if his ankle's out, somebody's going to have to go in there and throw that football, because I don't think I don't think we're the offensive line yet where we can just, okay, we're just going to push you around. I just don't think we're there yet.
No, you would have to more effectively use, and I thought the Hunter Johnson drive, I know it was the end of the game last week, but I thought the drive, if he's a quarterback, it seemed perfect for his skill set. It was a very Deshaun Watson looking drive, couple of design runs, the pass, maybe threw five passes, a lot of them were quick early in his time on the field to get him greased up, so to speak. And then you draw them in with the play action because they know that you're going to at least try to run it. And then you dump over the top up the seam. Really haven't done a whole lot of that with Kelly Bryant because if you draw the defense into the middle, he's probably better off running wide like you're talking about. His skill set, his strength is used probably better differently. But I think there's a game plan to be utilized for both of those quarterbacks coming in. But you're right. A lot of it will go back to maybe what we saw last year, where the passing game is more the threat on first and 10 rather than who's going to be running the ball, you know, between the tackles or off tackle or whatever. Or, you know, instead of run pass options, it's going to be more of a traditional turn and throw the ball over there, like a screen situation or whatnot. I agree. And I think this offense is probably when Clemson's offense that it's most efficient and effective is when you can run it on first, second, third down and move the pile, because then you get those receivers, which everybody talked about. How are you going to get these receivers involved? You do that because they're one-on-one a lot.
Right.
Because you're creating isolated matchups.
Yeah. Yeah. To compare it, I think Georgia, you know, they don't have that situation where you take that one guy out and the quarterback, you know, they've got a good running football team. And it's not, but Clemson has a more dynamic, maybe more diverse, but you take Kelly Bryant out and I think it's going to be a lot easier. It'd be interesting to see Clemson's offense play Clemson's defense. And if you take Kelly Bryant out of the mix, I don't think we could get 75 yards rushing against our own defense.
I don't think so either.
You keep Kelly Bryant in there, I think you could maybe rush for, you know, maybe two Bills, maybe, depending on how far you had to go down the depth chart.
Well, some of that has to do with how good the defense is.
Right.
And I think that's something as Syracuse, when it runs its tempo, we talked about this, and Dabo even said, you know, sometimes with tempo, and this goes back to the conversation from 6 years ago, I think, you know, Larry Williams was brought in the conversation, and they sort of had this triangulation with, you know, 6 years ago, people said, how are you going to stop anybody if your offense going so fast, your defense on the field more? And he kind of made the statement, you know, if you're going fast and going three and out, then your defense is right back on the field. You're just off the field real fast. To me, Clemson's defense, that's the thing that you got to get is some early three and outs. How do you see the defense stacking up with Syracuse offensively, given what you said about Babers and Dungy a little bit earlier?
I think Syracuse, I mean, of the offenses out there, they can do more than some of the teams Clemson's seen. I think Dungy's a good little quarterback. I mean, in a time where it seems so hard to find somebody that can throw it, you know, and run it pretty effectively, I haven't watched a lot of film on him, but I think he's a pretty good player.
I think he's
probably
good.
One of the best quarterbacks we'll see this year. But I if you with that front seven, it doesn't. I mean, the thing is with Clemson's defense, like we've said with Brent Venables, is you can't have one player. I mean, they got a very good receiver in Ishmael, but Brent Venables' defense has never lost a game because of one player. They're too good. 11 hats are too good to minimize that one guy you got. And so, like Clemson's offense, it's not really. You know, Kelly Bryant, like I said, really kind of drives it, but the ball's spread around. And so you have to have you better bring a lot to the table against Clemson's defense. And I just don't think Syracuse has it. But I think Babers has them going in the right direction.
Oh, they're definitely trending upward. I thought they would. Their schedule is really difficult. I think they're going to pick off a win or two and get to six wins. I still believe that. Now, they lost to Middle Tennessee. So, again, we shouldn't overstate how good Syracuse is. They did lose to Rick Stockstill's team there. Let's transition a little bit before we make picks at the end. Oh, we got to do Hadley's picks. I'm in our conversation right now. Before we get to South Carolina, Hadley's making picks once again and schooling all of us through a child's eyes.
She's starting to pick her favorites. You can see week in and week out. She's got certain teams she's definitely locked in on.
I'm glad she's in a groove. Let's see if the groove works this week.
Hadley's picks week 7. Hadley, you had some big news happen this week. Tell us about it. Why'd you have to go to the dentist?
Because my tooth had to be pulled.
That's right. And what happened last night after you put your tooth under your pillow?
The tasteman came and brought me a real Kinder Egg.
That's right. Okay. Hadley, TCU at Kansas State. Who are you taking?
TCU.
Texas Tech or West Virginia?
West Virginia.
Florida State or Duke?
Duke.
South Carolina or Tennessee?
Tennessee.
Auburn or LSU?
Auburn.
Georgia Tech or Miami?
Georgia.
Georgia Tech?
Georgia Tech.
Northwestern or Maryland?
Maryland.
Virginia or North Carolina?
North Carolina.
Texas A&M or Florida?
Florida.
Oklahoma or Texas?
Texas.
And what do you think the score will be? Pick two numbers.
8-5.
8-5? You going 8-5 again?
Uh-huh.
Okay, 8-5. Anything else you want to tell the listeners?
No, I just am barefoot.
You're barefoot?
That's awesome. I love that she's going back to the 8-5 well.
She's
8-5.
She's fighting for those days. She's longing for the days of Alabama LSU. She wants to go back.
I love it.
To the beer.
I try to do some math real quickly. I'm trying to see. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4. I think she went 4-6 last week. 5-5. She went 5-5 last week. We'll see. And Sanders went 4-6. She beat Sanders last week.
Sandy,
there we go. There we go.
Your mic is off for this segment just because of that. That's your punishment.
Way to go. Hey, I appreciate you coming clean on that, buddy. That was really nice. Now to the Gamecocks. I have said that they are, it's Jarrett Guarantano Bay that is starting at quarterback now. And the other guy who may or may not be on the team, we don't know. It's like an hour by hour thing. What is happening at Tennessee with Butch Jones? And how does South Carolina keep playing every dumpster fire program at the exact time that they start to burst into flames? Arkansas and now Tennessee.
I don't know, but you remember last week I said I thought South Carolina would win that Arkansas game. And part of it was because they had Arkansas as a statue quarterback. You know, they don't run the Wildcat or, I mean, Wild Hog. They really don't do much of that. And I said the one thing is, despite all the negativity around that program they've experienced after that Kentucky loss, I feel like Muschamp has those guys playing at a high level, like at least to their potential week in and week out. I mean, they're not – they hadn't packed it in. They're playing – I think they play with a lot of enthusiasm, and that's – that is the leg up they have on some of these, this week. I mean, they're going to be more fired up than Tennessee is. I don't care. Tennessee's not fighting for, you know, to save face. They're done. They're toast. I mean, there's nothing on paper that looks good about Tennessee right now, much less the intangibles, what's going on in the locker room and coaching position and all that stuff. So, South Carolina, I think, we can sit here and say, you know, a lot of their opponents are down this year or they have a weak schedule and all, but it doesn't matter. It's year two of Muschamp, and if they can just find a way to pull some wins together, it's moving in the right direction for that program. And Tennessee just, you know, their pass defense is ranked third in the country, but they really hadn't played anybody that throws the ball well except for UMass, and I mean, how good of a test is that?
Yes.
They're terrible in the turnover margin, and that's where South Carolina's doing really well. The red zone defense is 120th in the country. Red zone offense is 111th in the country. I mean, what part of that says this team has what it takes to win? And then we're not even getting into what all is going on, like I said, with just the clouds and the smoke going on at Rocky Top right now with that fan base.
I'm trying to figure out how, with a full bye week, they didn't make a quarterback change until this week. Like you would have said that on Monday, Tuesday, right? Before the bye week, so that the quarterback has a week and a half. How was that the second of your, like the second week of preparation that you made that change? Something must have happened at some point during preparation. That's my read on it, because it doesn't make sense otherwise. If you're going to make a quarterback change, you know it on Monday, Tuesday, unless he did something in the week of practice, I would think.
There must be something going on there. I mean, you know, what last year, what was the running back that transferred like after the third game? I mean, he was a high-profile guy. It's just unusual. You know, those are the things that can kind of push a fan base over the edge. When you just got transfers popping in and out and guys getting kicked off the team, it just seems like wins or losses aside, it's just not going in the direction it needs to go. But if I'm a South Carolina fan, I mean, from where I was 3 or 4 weeks ago as a South Carolina fan, you'd be feeling a lot better right now. I mean, win at Tennessee if they can pull it out, which I think they can. I think this is about as good as you could have hoped for. Yeah, they could have beat Kentucky, but, they still, with that run game, they're not going to beat any real good teams. But nobody's expecting them to be, 10th in the country this year. So I think things are rolling along well. Let me read you these. I looked these up. These are so impressive. I'm going to brag on Clemson for a second during the South Carolina segment.
Go for it.
Third down offense, 11th in the country. Third down defense, 14th in the country. Scoring defense, 5th in the country. Run defense, 13th in the country. Run offense, 20th in the country. Red zone offense, 8th in the country. Red zone defense, 13th in the country. Team sacks, 5th in the country. I mean, would you agree that if you're top 25, top 30 in anything, you're pretty good at it?
Pretty good, yeah. Top 25 is where that's where you start telling people. When you're in the top 25, you tell people we're in the top 25 in such and such category.
TCU used to go 10-2 with just like a top 30 offense and top 30 defense. You know what I mean? Like they were just kind of good everywhere but not great anywhere. So when you get into, even when you get into the top 15 or top 10, which is where Clemson is in all these stats, that's when you're one of the best at what you do. And even like rushing offense, you know, their teams, all they do is run the ball, like Georgia Tech. So you almost have to throw the top five out because for some reason in their scheme, they should be in the top 10 or top 15 because they sell out for that. But this red zone efficiency on offense and defense, getting sacks, third down, obviously so critical. This is a team that, this is why Clemson's hard to beat right here, Because week in, week out, they're good at these things. They may not be great at throwing the ball that week. They may not be great at turning you over, but they're just going to be solid. We're going to give up some, you know, first downs. Teams will get a 40-yard drive, but then they get to the red zone. Life gets a little more difficult. And that's what Clemson's done.
All right, before we let you go, picks on the games. Clemson a 22.5 point favorite right now. That seems, to me, the way I'm looking at this, it seems a little bit low for the first three quarters, but then, like, I don't know, more than half of the points Clemson's given up this year. What is it, like, two-thirds of the points Clemson's given up this year have been in the fourth quarter? So they could come back under the number, I think, late. What's your read on this game with that number?
Yeah, I don't know that Clemson covers that. I think it might be, it seems like on the road, we come out of the gate so hot.
Yeah.
I mean, Louisville, like, offense is clicking. But I looked at the numbers. Our total offense is about the same home and away. It's just we've passed the ball a little bit better on the road. So I think we'll probably come out looking pretty strong. Defense will force several three and outs. And then, yeah, I think, like you said, I mean, they'll probably have some touchdowns late in the game that'll bust that spread, if I had to guess.
The spread is actually moving in Tennessee's favor right now. Playing at home, the spread is 3.5. So if you think Tennessee's winning by a field goal, you could take that number now.
Hold on. You're saying Tennessee's favored by 3.5?
Yes, with a quarterback change and all that.
Mm-hmm. I feel like there's some bookies with inside information I don't know about.
Yes.
And I'm not just jumping on the bandwagon for South Carolina because they won last week. I picked them to win last week.
Right.
I just think South Carolina's defense is going to cause some problems for that terrible offense. I think they'll probably score a touchdown on defense this week.
They may. They scored plenty last week.
I'd take South Carolina on that all day long.
All right, quickly, Fletcher Anderson Nationwide Insurance in Central. What's going on with you guys?
Come see me. FletcherAnderson.net. 639-2822. Look me up. I'd love to help you out. We do home and auto, but we do a lot of business insurance as well. Workers' comp, all that stuff that you hate to pay for, but you have to. We'll take care of it for you.
My man, always a pleasure. Thanks for Big Thursday.
See you next
Fletcher
week.
Anderson, absolutely. We'll be back from Out of Bounds. More college football talk when we return in a moment.
Head to Bojangles for five hearty meals, just $5 each. Bojangles, it's bow time.
Don't just watch the games this weekend, make money on them. Get in the action at mybookie.ag and cash in on your winning picks. MyBookie is the industry-leading sportsbook that hooks you up for all your betting needs. NFL, college football, playoff baseball, and more. MyBookie has the best odds and action for players big and small. Want to test your luck in a casino? MyBookie puts instant blackjack, roulette, and Vegas-style slots in the palm of your hand. They've even got beautiful live dealers dealing your cards in real time. And when you score that big win, MyBookie has you covered with the fastest online payouts in the business. Call MyBookie now at 844-900-2387 and mention promo code RADIO and they'll double your money on your first deposit. You can also sign up online right on your phone. Just visit MyBookie.ag today. That's MyBookie.ag or call 844-900-BETS. Play, win, get paid.
Vehicles repairs can be a painful experience, but don't let them be. The experts at My Garage are here to treat your vehicle like the major investment it is. Call today to make your appointment at 633-5800 or visit us at 551 Old Greenville Highway in Clemson.
I'm Richard Thompson of Thompson & King Law Firm, and I believe that every person has a God-given desire to work. That's why I take Social Security and workers' compensation cases very seriously, because most folks don't really want to think they're disabled. They hesitate to file for disability, and when they're turned down, they hesitate to appeal their case. But they are disabled. If you're presently unable to work on a daily basis, even if you don't fully understand the cause, come see me. I'll take your case seriously. I know you do.
But Thompson King Law Firm, 222-0200.
You and your guests are ready for the big game, but is your house? Zero Res has your back because only Zero Res cleans with empowered water. No soap, no residue, no harsh chemicals. In October only, get three rooms for $129 and get a hallway for free when you mention my name, Mickey. Call 864-558-7300 or visit ZeroResGreenville.com to make your appointment. Zero Res, spell it backwards or forwards, is the right way to clean. And don't forget to ask about their air duct cleaning special.
Two of our favorite words are good food. Two more are J. Peters. J. Peters is known for good food for any taste. From appetizers to dessert and signature drinks, there is something for everyone. Salads, mouth-watering burgers, steaks, ribs, prime rib and seafood. And for a finishing touch, warm apple cobbler. Are you hungry yet? No matter what you order on the menu, you'll discover amazing flavors and great portions. With locations in downtown Anderson, Exit 19, and Livonia. Be sure to find the one close to you. Big food, good friends, and great times. J. Peters.
Anything that's made just for you is a perfect fit, right? Like a tailored suit. It fits your measurements. No one else's. That same kind of fit is exactly what Engineered Sleep strives for. A mattress made just for you, built to your sleeping patterns and habits. What could be more important than a good night's rest? Engineered Sleep wants to make it a perfect night's rest. If after a couple of weeks you find it's not perfect, Engineered Sleep will adjust it until it is. Visit their location at 627 Congaree Road to see the process. Learn how your mattress is made. By manufacturing your custom-made mattress at their factory, you're saving money because there is no middleman. Factory to you! And you can score a significant discount by picking up your mattress instead of having it delivered. Engineered Sleep, it's not mattress shopping, it's an experience.
When it's time to replace your roof, there are so many things to consider, from the type of roof you have to the many types and styles of shingles. Gilstrap Roofing understands how each part of our roofing system works together to give you a beautiful and watertight barrier. Don't trust the one thing that really protects your home to just anyone. Gilstrap Roofing has been covering the upstate for four generations. Proven, experienced roofers for your home or business. Gilstrap Roofing, 269-1232.
It's moving day, and Tiger Moving Company is here to help. Skip the headache. Hire the professionals with the right tools for your move. Their clean-cut and reliable team pack and assemble furniture seamlessly, so all you have to do is make yourself at home. To top this all off, they even start and stop the clock at your house, charging you a flat hourly rate. No rounding up. Call today at 908-9028 or email tigermoving@gmail.com to make your next move with Tiger Moving Company.
Out of Bounds is on the air.
I was being sarcastic.
105.5 The Roar. Now back to Kwok and Kelly.
All the single ladies, 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 all the single ladies. Now put your hands up, up in the club, just pop up, I'm doing my own little thing. You decided to dip, dip, and now you want a trip, another brother noticed me.
And thanks to Fletcher Anderson for joining us for Big Thursday. Out of Bounds continues. We're about at the halfway point of the program. And the first half, this may very well be a second half show. I'll just tell you. We got some good stuff coming up. Brian Edwards is coming up at 2:05 with us. We always have fun with Brian. And he's got some interesting. I've got a preview of what he's going to talk about. There's some interesting stuff. In fact, can we do Crunch the Numbers before Brian comes on? Because I have an interesting number that pertains to something that I know that Brian either will or wants to discuss with us. We'll do that at the end of the next segment. This hour is brought to you by our friends at ZipRecruiter. Hey, what if hiring could be easier for you? And what I mean by that is, like, could it be more streamlined, less time-consuming? So even when you got a lot going on, when you're real busy, you can still be smart about the way you hire people. If that could happen, wouldn't you prefer that to the way you've been doing it forever and ever and ever? Well, now you can with ZipRecruiter. You can post your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards with just one click, and then ZipRecruiter puts its smart matching technology to work, actively notifying qualified candidates about your job within minutes of posting to receive the best possible matches. They find qualified candidates, not the other way around. That sets them apart. Also, what sets them apart is this. 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. It's the smartest way to hire, and you can do it right now for free. That's right, absolutely free. If you're a growing business of any size in any industry, you can find qualified job candidates with immediate results at ZipRecruiter.com/Kwok. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Kwok. One more time, try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Kwok. Kelly, we've got to do a lot. This is a busy Thursday show here on the program because we have quite a bit of ground to cover. Part of that is our You Pick'em Challenge. We have to actually make picks on the You Pick'em Challenge today instead of just throwing little feelers out there and making the picks for real tomorrow. We got to make them today. And so we need to get a head start on that. We need to get out in front of it. I'm glad that you didn't pick last night's game, put it on there, South Alabama and Troy, doo-doo sandwich. I'm glad you didn't put tonight's game, Texas State, Louisiana, on there. Sorry, Donna Bullock, doo-doo sandwich, Louisiana not anything to write home about this year.
So they're officially no longer Louisiana Lafayette.
Officially Louisiana. That's right. I don't even know if it's college, University of Louisiana. I think it's UL. Mm. University of Louisiana instead of LSU. Kelly, the You Pick 'Em Challenge this week has given me nightmares. It has caused me sleepless nights. I've been overwhelmed with absolute terror at the thought of losing these games after the ball-out performance that we shared last week. And so, let's go through these. I need someone to assuage some of my concerns with some of these games. Let's start from the top, Kelly. What's the first game on the You Pick 'Em Challenge? How can we handicap this game?
The first game is TCU at Kansas State.
Okay.
And we talked about it a little bit yesterday. I think the majority of the participants, we've had about half get in so far, are going with TCU. One person has picked Kansas State so far. You might be able to infer who.
Hey, a totally unrelated note. Walt Deptula Road Rage is going to be out at George Coleman Ford from 3 to 7 today. Totally unrelated to that. Go ahead.
So, I'm going with TCU. I know that it's on the road, and I think, honestly, this is one game that I don't feel as comfortable with. It's not a lock for me because it is in Manhattan, and I think that Kansas State could bounce back. But like you said, TCU, to me, kind of avoided that letdown game when they beat West Virginia.
By the way, not Manhattan, the mecca of college football, but Manhattan, the place in Kansas.
Not Manhattan, the heartbeat of America.
Exactly.
Manhattan, Kansas, which is obviously not the heartbeat of America.
The analytics unanimously favor, not that this is a shocker to anybody, unanimously favor TCU. I like the way TCU played on the road at Oklahoma State. And I just kind of feel like that's going to carry over. They proved to me there that their offense can go on the road, that they can make plays happen on special teams and with the defense as well. This is essentially a 2-1 game according to FPI as well. 64-65, upwards of 70% some of these analytic arms. I don't see any reason to take Kansas State. After what I've seen the first 5 weeks of the season from them, or the first 6 weeks of the season from them, I don't see any reason to pick them. Their best win so far is Baylor. They're 3-2. They lost to Texas in double overtime. They lost at Vandy by a score, and Vandy's been routed by everybody else they played since then. I got to go with TCU, and they've got offensive balance. They're one of those teams that has bound 259 passing, 220 rushing. Kenny Hill Esquire is a much more mature quarterback this year. He's going to get his law degree, apparently, or something. He's going to get his CPA license.
Yeah.
He's been much more
buttoned up, straight-laced this year.
So I got to go Horned Frogs on this.
And when it comes to the quarterback battle, this sounds crazy to say, especially maybe 6 weeks ago, but Kenny Hill is obviously the better quarterback than Ertz. I mean, without a doubt, at this point.
If Kansas State had beaten Baylor worse, like maybe by 20-plus, then I might actually say, you know what, they play better at home because the two losses are on the road. And so maybe we don't know how they play against a really good team at home. But I don't feel good enough about the way they've played in their toughest home test so far, which is not a tough home test at all, to say they're going to take that over into the TCU game. Plus, I trust Patterson. I think Gary Patterson will take his team on the road. That's good stuff. Second game on the list, Kelly, Texas Tech, West Virginia. How about these early Big 12 kickoffs giving us a bit of intrigue on what is effectively a bye week for Clemson people?
Texas Tech, West Virginia, I think, is going to be a tough one to pick because you want to go with West Virginia playing at home and Texas Tech literally traveling cross-country to play a conference opponent.
Yeah.
Never forget. I mean, that is a trek from Lubbock to Morgantown. I imagine you have some connecting flights in there. Nothing goes straight into Morgantown. Do they have an airport? I don't even know. I don't know how you get there. So factor that in. And factor in that Texas Tech is just better. They're better than last year. They're playing a semblance of defense. They're taking care of the football. Quarterback with a 14-3 TD-INT ratio. I like what I've seen out of Texas Tech, which is a weird sentence, but the way that they played Houston and won that close game, almost beat Oklahoma State. I thought they played well in that game. Handled business against Kansas. I like what I've seen.
Texas Tech defensively, and I'm giving you some numbers on their defense so far. Third down conversions, they're allowing opponents to convert only 38.2% of the time. That's a significant improvement from years past. You look at what they're giving up offensively. They're averaging 7.2 yards a game themselves. They're giving up 5.5 yards a play. Yards a play. I think I said yards per game. Yards per play. They have forced 9 fumbles and recovered 7 of them. So they're forcing turnovers. They've also intercepted 3 passes. They've been intercepted 7 times, so they're actually losing the turnover margin. But they're better at stripping the ball out there. They're not being penalized. Actually, no, they are being penalized more than their opponents. I read that backwards, so sorry about that. We'll just throw that stat out. It's not a resounding success for Texas Tech, but it is better. The scoring defense is down just a hair under 28 a game. If you're Texas Tech and allowing teams to score 28, that's pretty doggone good. And you've already faced good offenses. You've already faced Houston, which is a decent offense. You gave up 24. Oklahoma State gave up 41. Kansas, you gave up 19. Arizona State gave up 45. I don't love the prospect of going to West Virginia, giving up 30-plus and winning. So I'm going to lean West Virginia. This is one where I'm going to take the full allotment of my time to make a choice here. Because if you look at the analytics, the FPI has a 55-45 advantage for Texas Tech. The S&P Plus has West Virginia by a couple of points, basically 54-46. The F Plus, we talk about that when you make fun of it every week, has Texas Tech at 57%. So there is some split there. And so I need to just figure out, do I trust Will Grier more than Nick Szymanek, which is one of my favorite quarterback names in the country?
Another good quarterback name. How about this one, though, Kwok? In every game that West Virginia has played against an opponent with a pulse, which is 2, they've lost the turnover battle. I think that's going to be big for them in Morgantown.
That is going to be big. I do, and I said this yesterday, my default setting is to take West Virginia at home and to pick against West Virginia on the road.
Right, yeah.
So that may play into it, but I'm gonna kind of take some time to think about this one. Florida State-Duke before we hit our next break. And get to more red zone stats and more picking of games and Brian Edwards later on in the show. Florida State Duke, what's your read? Kelly, this one bothers me. This game bugs me to death. I hate this game. Shame on you for putting it on the list.
You're welcome. This game does not bother me as much as Florida State Wake Forest did.
Okay.
That game bothered me because Florida State had yet to get a win. Wake Forest is better than Duke. Wake Forest was undefeated. That game, I wanted to pick Wake, and I just couldn't do it, and I'm glad I didn't. But, I mean, that game was very close. It came down to Blackman with a pretty long touchdown pass to win it. So I feel better about this one in picking Florida State. I'm not buying into Duke as much as I was earlier on when they defeated Northwestern, Baylor, and UNC, 3 Power 5 teams initially, but none of those teams are any good. Not even Northwestern. I mean, Northwestern's not very good. Baylor's terrible.
Are you buying my Northwestern defense, though, that game probably would have been closer had it not been for that basically a 14-point swing on the targeting in the end zone? You buying that one? It's a 24-point game with a 14-point swing.
Are you ever going to let the targeting call go from the Northwestern Duke game?
Pat Fitzgerald's life was ruined by the targeting call in the end zone against Duke.
Yeah, and I mean, the thing with Duke is you talk about Daniel Jones and his experience and stuff. He was just not very good against Virginia. Kwok, this looks like a typo. Against Virginia, Daniel Jones, Duke's veteran quarterback, was 14 of 42 for 124 yards. His QBR was 17.
Yeah, but Quinn Blanding, though.
Oh, my gosh. I mean... That's the thing. If Daniel Jones was maybe even John Walford or someone I trust a little more, I feel okay about picking Florida State in this one. I feel pretty darn confident.
Here's my thing with Duke. You look at Duke, they have all kinds of reasons to pick them in this game. Like, for instance, if you're concerned about your boy...
I don't really see many reasons, but go ahead.
If you're concerned about your boy James Blackman at quarterback... then Duke is averaging 88 yards a game allowed on the ground, and I think their tackle for loss percentage was outrageously high before the Miami game. I don't know what it is now. It's probably still around a third of the time when you run the ball against Duke with a running back, you get stopped for a loss. They're one of the nation's leaders in that. That does not seem to be particularly favorable for Patrick or Akers running the ball. Now, Akers, one of the other great tackles for loss teams on the ground through the first month of the season was Miami. Akers ran for .121 on 20 carries last week. And I feel like that's a game changer.
Miami and Duke have the thing in common that they played absolutely nobody in September.
Correct. Duke's offense is balanced. 210 passing, 203 rushing, but Miami totally shut them down. And like you said, last week against Virginia, they had 255 yards and turned it over twice. Virginia also stayed on the field 35 minutes. I feel like Florida State can do that to you. They can go a little bit slower than a lot of teams that have sort of the pedigree that Florida State does offensively. They're a little more deliberate than some other teams. So they can win that time of possession battle. I'm with you. I don't feel good about Duke. I feel worse about Duke than I do about Florida State here. I don't feel great about FSU winning this game.
Right.
I still don't.
I don't feel great about FSU, but I just don't feel good at all about Duke. I think are we going to give our pick sixes today?
No, I figured we'd wait till tomorrow. Okay. I want to wait and see how
we'll
some
put it
of these
out on Twitter
go.
Then.
Yeah,
we'll put it on Twitter.
I feel like that's something we give out on Twitter tomorrow.
But to me, FSU -7 feels pretty good, to be honest.
Is Duke the worst team Florida State's played so far? The other teams they played, Alabama, NC State, Wake Forest, Miami.
Yes, by far.
They're the
I
worst
think.
Team. Okay.
If only they had got to play Louisiana Monroe. They'd have 2 wins.
I kind of agree with that. And analytics love Florida State to cover. In fact, I'm looking at, again, basically 3-1, the FPI. I'm looking at Florida State by 13, 77%. Florida State by 14, 79%. Analytics love Florida State to cover the spread.
Of course, I picked FSU to cover the 7.5 at Wake, and they won by 7. That was rough.
That's true. If it stays at the number, though, you could push with a touchdown win. And that's all we really need out of this. All right, stay with us. More to come. Out of Bounds next. We'll get to a couple of more games. We'll also get to some more Red Zone. We'll play Stump Sanders when we return with Red Zone stats. Stay with us. More to come. Out of Bounds in a moment.
The Tigers travel to Syracuse for a Friday night game, and of course, game day starts with the Tiger pregame show. Join me and Scott Reimer this Friday at 1 p.m. at Poor Tap Room for the Tiger pregame show. 70 taps of craft beer and wine, the largest self-serve tap room. It's like a beer festival every day. And Scott and I will be there to get you ready for the game with live music from Brooks Dixon after the show. The Tiger pregame show this Friday from 1 to 4 p.m. at Poor Tap Room, Seven Falls Park in downtown Greenville.
Up next, it's Don Munson with your Daily Tiger Update, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union on the Clemson Tigers Network.
Relax, Clemson students, faculty, staff, and IPTE members. You can join Founders Federal Credit Union with convenient services like the Founders app with mobile deposit, Founders Online, and online applications. You can spend less time in our office and more time cheering on your national champion Clemson Tigers. For product information, visit foundersfcu.com. Not a Founders member? Visit relaxjoinfounders.com to see if you qualify for membership. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
Well, hi, everybody, and welcome to the show. Preparation continues for the trip to Syracuse for Clemson football. Clemson has a 9-6 record in Dome Stadium over the years, including a 4-5 record in the Georgia Dome. Clemson also has played in the Superdome and in Japan's Tokyo Dome. Clemson's first game in a dome was in 1981, the year Clemson won their first national championship. That was a 13-5 win over Tulane in the Superdome in New Orleans. Clemson is 2-0 in the Carrier Dome in Syracuse, winning 49-14 back in 2013 and 37-27 in 2015. Clemson also won a game in a dome stadium in last year's national championship run. That was that 31-0 victory over Ohio State in the Fiesta Bowl in Glendale, Arizona. Clemson, as we said, 2-0 in the Carrier Dome in football, but 1-2 in basketball. 2 years ago, Clemson basketball went up and defeated a Syracuse team that went on to the Final Four. That happened on January the 5th of 2016. The Tigers will return to the Carrier Dome for basketball next March, as Clemson will be the opponent for the Orange on Syracuse Senior Day. So good luck to Brad Brownell and his charges in that one as well. And our report brought to you by our fine friends at Founders Federal Credit Union, the official credit union of the Clemson Tigers.
Birdies and beer. In other words, golf with your pals at an unbelievable price. Arrowhead Point, surrounding the beautiful Richard B. Russell Lake in Elberton, Georgia. End the week perfectly. Each Friday at 3 for just $20 per person. Your first beer is included, and your greens and cart fees as well. And on course games, too. Try finding a better deal than that anywhere. Birdies and beers. Fridays at Arrowhead Point in Elberton, Georgia. Sign up now at 706-283-6000. Birdies and beer.
As the end of the year approaches, Retirement Funding Advisors is reminding business owners to evaluate your retirement plan needs. If you don't currently have a retirement plan, you may miss the opportunity to adopt a plan for the current year. If you already have a plan, now is the time to review for the upcoming year. Is your plan meeting your goals and objectives? Are your fees and expenses reasonable? Contact Carson at Retirement Funding Advisors at 430-8544 or visit retirementfa.com to get the right plan for your business.
Zero Res is the answer to cleaning at its finest with no harsh chemicals. No residue, safe from toxins, and your carpet, upholstery, tile, and grout will stay cleaner longer. Spell it forwards or backwards, it's the right way to clean. ZeroResGreenville.com.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wayne from The Vault. You know, the retro sports apparel store Walt has been telling you about. We are your local go-to store for Clemson championship gear, as well as all your favorite pro and college teams. And as always, all hats in the store are buy one, get one half price, including the championship hats. Please visit us at 213 North Main Street in Greenville or online at vaultretrosports.com. And remember, nobody appreciates your business more than we do.
Bring your own tools, pull the parts you need, and save big. At LKQ Pick Your Part, you'll find millions of parts from hundreds of cars and trucks to choose from. Right now, download our PYP Garage app. Get instant notifications when your vehicle comes to an LKQ Pick Your Part near you. Sign up for our PYP Garage and start earning points towards discounts on future purchases at LKQ Pick Your Part. It's easy and free to sign up. Visit LKQPickYourPart.com for more information or visit us today and save big. What's in your garage?
It's a great time to buy from George Coleman Ford, where cars cost less and travelers rest. Drive home in a 2017 Focus 4-Door S. Low, low priced at just $13,999, plus tax and tag. Remember, there are never any dealer fees at George Coleman Ford. Take advantage of this incredibly priced 2017 Focus 4-Door S, serving you for over 85 years and four generations. George Coleman Ford, for the ride of a lifetime. George Coleman Ford, where cars cost less and travelers rest.
Kelly, isn't everything bigger in Texas?
You know it, Quok. Why?
Well, as a native Texan, I figure you'll have no problem hopping on a big old front-end loader from Bennett Equipment.
You better be joking, Quok. I doubt Eddie's going to let that happen.
Join Quok and Kelly October 19th at the new Bennett Equipment and Supply location in Seneca for an open house. Out of Bounds live from noon to 3. Vendors and great food cooked courtesy of Eddie Bennett. And who knows, maybe Kelly or Quok ride in a front-end loader?
Out of Bounds is on the air.
Gets the crowd involved, doesn't it?
105.5 The Roar. Now back to Quok and Kelly.
I'm a chicken fried and cold beer on a Friday night. A pair of jeans that fit just right and a radio.
Ah, yes, hour two continues. Out of Bounds. I was very distracted during the break. If it takes me a moment to regain composure, it's because I just tasted Tom's barbecue. And oh my goodness, I'm the king of, like, when people bring a smorgasbord of barbecue sauces, I like to let them mingle just a moment. And I feel like with the Zac Brown Band song that we're hearing right now,
I feel like I had to keep it going. We're talking about barbecue, right? Yeah. America.
You know, I like my barbecue. I mean, you know, whatever. We could do a remix if you give us like 5 minutes.
I don't think we should, but.
No, we shouldn't, because it would take too much
time. We shan't.
Short. Michael Scott. But this, I just went with the mild sauce. I'm like, I need to just try their mild sauce. Oh my goodness. I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say this. Tom's Barbecue is where you need to go for your barbecue.
Let me tell you where you can find Tom. So Tom's Barbecue off Garlington Road.
Tom, where are you?
Tom, where are you? Garlington Road off Woodruff. Okay, so in Greenville. At this weekend, tailgate at home, you know, because you have the Friday game for Syracuse, you have a bunch of games on Saturday you need to watch. So tailgate at home, get a spread like we just had here at the station. We had pulled pork, we had chicken wings, green beans, the mac and cheese. Sanders had an entire plate of mac and cheese. The banana pudding was amazing. I mean, so good. And Quok, the wings they had, one was called Carolina Collision. It was pretty good. Well, no, it was really good. But the one I loved was the Cheer Wine wings. made with cheer wine sauce.
That seems pretty remarkable. I've not moved past the pork at this point, but I will progress to the wings shortly.
Oh my gosh, just so good. So go see them. They're off Woodruff, Tom's Barbecue. Give them a call, 288-2652. Call Tom today.
Once again, a reminder, 1 to 4 p.m. tomorrow, Poor Tap Room in Greenville. Kelly will be there. Scott will be there. Beer and lunch will be there, and wine, and also sodas, which I found out as a volunteer driver one night. They have sodas. From 4 to 6, Tiger Sports Shop, Tiger Tailgate Show. I'll be with David Stein, the Clemson Tigers Network, tomorrow. You can hear it on the flagship station, but why here when you can see with your eyes? Come and hang out with us in downtown Clemson on College Avenue at Tiger Sports Shop. It's going to be amazing.
One thing you have to see is David Stein's outfits, woo! Right? In person.
Oh, it's good.
That guy's
that's
unbelievable.
Good. You know what? I got the weirdest thing a couple weeks ago. One guy walked up to us and he looks at David. He goes, "You must be Quawk. Never gotten that one before." Don't know what that means. Don't know if I should be offended or...
Does it feel bad because David is completely bald?
Kind of. I mean, I'm getting there. David Stein is, when I look in the mirror 30 years from now, that's what it is. That's what it is.
But
25
hey,
years from now.
You could do much worse than looking like David Stein. You're good.
Mercy.
And you should wear the Clemson tie and the Clemson sweater vest and the Clemson button up and all the stuff that David rocks.
All right, so here's what we're going to do in our final few minutes here. We've got a couple of more games to talk about. We've got Brian Edwards coming up. I want to give one more red zone stat for Sanders. We're going to play Stump Sanders with the red zone stats. You ready, Sanders?
Boy, am I ever.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Sanders, contain your excitement.
All right, what do you think? The Tigers have run 57 plays in the red zone. Now, I kind of teased this out a little bit. I want to know the play call, okay? The play call, not what happened, but the play call, the play selection. How many times do you think the Tigers have run the ball in the red zone? 57 plays they've run in the red zone.
57 plays run. I'm going 46 run attempts.
46 runs and 11 passes in terms of the call. How many runs and passes?
That's not right.
I'm going to say 35.
35. Okay. Kelly, did we go over this yesterday?
We did.
38 runs called to 19 passes called. So Hal was closest without going over. So Price is right. You bonked out there, Sanders. Well done, Hal.
I knew
Hal.
It once
Good
I
job.
Said it that I was way over.
It was a lot. But here's the thing. I included, I said play call because there were, I think, three different times that Kelly Bryant on a called pass pulled down to run. There were a couple of weird plays, like the one where he ran around in a circle and got 1 yard for Virginia Tech where he should have been dropped for like an 80-yard loss, and it turned out to be a 1 yard gain. That, I think that was a pass. I'm pretty sure that was a pass, but it was hard to tell. I had to watch the play like four times. There were also two different times in one of the games where there was a penalty. Which game did Clemson have two penalties in the red zone?
Virginia Tech. Right? With the jumbo package penalty?
No. Oh. There was one. Well, that was a pre-snap penalty.
I didn't
count that in the call because I don't know what the call was. I don't know.
I'm going to guess BC.
BC? Two penalties in the red zone. DC, you think BC or something else? Sanders?
BC or Auburn.
How?
BC.
All right, this goes along with another question, so I'm gonna add to the other question, okay? It was not BC. It was a different game. In this game, the same player was responsible for both penalties. This same player has been targeted the most times in the red zone of any player, this wide receiver, has been targeted the most times of any player, but has yet to record a catch in the red zone. Who is this receiver that has been targeted more times than any other player, has yet to have a catch in the red zone?
T. Higgins.
You think it's Higgins?
Yeah, is it not Kent State? It was offensive pass interference.
That's actually right.
I think it's T.
T. Higgins. Four targets. He's the only player to be targeted that many times. Has no catches. Incompletion, interception, two pass interferences.
I was going to guess Ray Ray and not Raymond Raymond.
Raymond Raymond?
No, Ray Ray.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because penalties.
Name me one of the two other players that have been targeted multiple times in the red zone. There are two other ones that have been targeted multiple times in the red zone.
Kelly's face. Without a touchdown?
Or just targeted
multiple times. There are a bunch of guys that have been targeted once, exactly once.
I think. Has Deion not been targeted multiple times?
Deion Kane does not have a catch in the red zone. He's been targeted one time as an incomplete pass. Yeah, one time.
Multiple times.
Multiple times in a red zone. Hal, do you have a guess while Sanders thinks?
Ray-Ray?
Not Ray-Ray. Raymond has one catch for 1 yard in the red zone. One catch for 1 yard.
I don't think it's Hunter.
It is Hunter, actually.
It is.
Yeah, Hunter Renfrow has been targeted.
I fooled you. I knew it was Hunter.
Yeah, he's been targeted four times. He's been targeted the same amount of times as T. Higgins.
He still hasn't scored.
He has three catches for 31 yards and has one fewer touchdown than Cannon Smith, who's been targeted one time in the red zone. Who's the other one? Do you know the other one? Anybody know the other one? Anybody? Bueller?
Overton.
Overton? You think it's Overton?
Why not?
Powell?
Yeah, I'm going to say Overton.
It's Powell, Cornell Powell. Two catches, 27 yards and a touchdown.
I got it mixed up.
There we go. Just a fun little nuggets from the red zone stats. Fun little nuggets. Clemson, here's a couple more stats. Clemson has run 51 consecutive plays without having a negative yardage play in the red zone. 51 consecutive plays without going backwards at all. They went -2 on a Feaster run against Kent State. They went -3 on a Bryant run against Kent State. Since then, 51 plays, no negatives. Unbelievable. In the first 7 plays, 2 negative yardage plays, an offensive pass interference, and an interception. Since then, much better in the red zone. Kelly, you don't like this game, do you?
It's just a lot of questions.
It's a lot of trivia. It's a lot of trivia. We're just playing Stump Sanders with the red zone stats.
I was more interested in the passing. Like, how many interceptions are there in the red zone?
There's been one interception.
Like, think about the difference there between that and last year.
Oh, yeah. Well, here are the stats per quarterback, and then we'll hit the top of the hour break and go to Brian Edwards and then finish up the picking of games in hour 3. Kelly Bryant, 7 of 11, 67 yards, a touchdown and a pick, 2 penalties as well that don't count as pass attempts. 3 of his last 4 have been incompletions in the red zone. Hunter Johnson, 3 for 3, 27 yards and a touchdown. Overall, 10 of 14, 94 yards, 2 touchdowns and a pick, and 17 rush touchdowns. So you're basically, I mean, first of all, you don't have a Mike Williams-type weapon. Deion Kane's only been targeted one time. You don't have a guy to just throw it up and either get a pass interference or make a catch. You don't have that guy. So you've had to be more selective in how you use the receivers. So, again, kind of interesting to look at the specifics there. I think one thing that we can take home from this is Clemson will be efficient in the red zone against Syracuse, or hell will freeze over.